Okay, thanks for tuning into the Redacted Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Matt Bender, and we're going to be doing something a little different with the show now. For one, we just got some audio equipment and some new gear that we're going to be able to do remote and phone interviews. So this episode, we did it all over the phone just for geographic reasons, and it's an absolutely fantastic guest. The other thing that we're doing different this episode is the guest will not be anonymous. So we're going to be interviewing Richard Hirschman, and he is a funeral home director, professional embalmer, and he's got some great information to give. You know, we're not pretending to be scientists or doctors or anything like that. So as you listen to this episode, and it's a little graphic, so I'll give that warning. But as you listen to this episode, and you'll hear him himself say that, you know, he's not a doctor, he doesn't know what's going on, but there's one thing that's glaringly obvious, is there's something going on, and somebody needs to figure it out. Also, in the show notes for this episode, we're going to be inserting some links and maybe some pictures and video. And as you'll hear him say later on, picture, video, that's worth a thousand words. So enjoy, and thanks for tuning in.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for taking my call and talking with us today here on the show.
Yes, sir. Not a problem.
Yeah. So I guess what was really interesting about you, and we kind of heard about you, found out about you, you had some videos on Twitter, and you are a embalmer, correct?
Yes. Okay. Funeral director and embalmer, correct.
Okay. And you had a couple viral videos going around showing, you know, these massive, strange, crazy blood clots that you were pulling out of people during the embalming process. Is that, that's what that was, right?
That's correct. That is 100% correct. That's the reason why I've been sharing this is because this is abnormal, and that last viral video that went out, which of course has been censored now.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing how it ended up with, I couldn't believe it, 20 million views in like 2 days.
Oh, geez.
And then they shut it down. I don't remember exactly what it was at, but it's hardly gotten any traction since then. And I've gotten reports from people that don't have a Twitter account, and I send them a link and they get this message saying this page does not exist or no longer exists.
Yeah. I couldn't find it anymore as of about a week ago. It just vanished, man.
Oh, it's still there on my account. From what I understand, you've got to literally have a Twitter account now to see it. Yeah, but if you're looking, some people posted it on Facebook and these other areas, the link to it, and now Facebook and these other sites are saying that it no longer exists. And I don't know if that's Facebook doing it or Twitter doing it, but somebody's doing it. Somebody's preventing people from seeing it.
That's, that's the world we live in. You know, this manicured information that everyone gets. So we actually just lost our YouTube channel for no reason. And we went, it seemed to be like an automated you know, deletion of our page, like some kind of a software program or an algorithm supposedly picked up that we were spam. And we put an appeal in to have what's supposedly a real person look it over to, mm-hmm. to check it. And yeah, they said, oh yeah, our decision stands. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And they couldn't give me a reason, like, you know, misinformation or, I mean, our page was pretty legit. Everything we had was pretty mainstream or backed up, but you know, they don't want you to have a voice. They don't want you to have a platform.
Well, it's a shame that this is happening, because you can obviously still talk about Bigfoot and aliens and chupacabras and all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah. But anytime that you try to share anything that is outside of something that they don't want people to see,
yeah.
they have a way of making it go away or disappearing. But the reason why I posted that video, Matt, was I had received a number of comments, you know, and other things saying, you know, well, you know, I won't believe it until you can show me a video of you doing it. And it's hard to make a video unless I've got an assistant or somebody in the embalming room helping me.
Yeah.
And that particular one, I just so happened to have somebody there, and so we were able to record that. But I've had some other videos that are out there that are real, but I have to show, you know, when people hear the stories, and I'm sure your listeners and yourself have seen and heard of so many reports of people suffering with blood clots over the last 3 years now.
Oh yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
And you know, as an embalmer, when I'm embalming the body, I'm looking at the blood. I mean, I've been looking at blood for 23 years now. I mean, I've been embalming since 2001.
Okay.
And what people aren't understanding when they sit there and they hear these reports, and then I see what I see, these clots are different. They're not the same blood clots that we would be familiar with. Now, a lot of the blood clots we embalmers probably were seeing are considered post-mortem clots or deep vein thrombosis, things like that, which I looked it up before I went public, said it affects maybe 1 in 1,000 people. Well, that's still kind of rare, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm familiar with blood clots. They're red. Blood clots are like red jelly. They're not, they don't have this stringy white fibrous substance to it.
So
there's something changed in early 2021. That's when I started seeing these.
So to back up just a tad, and you know, maybe I don't have an incredible understanding and the listeners don't either. So when you said you've been doing this 23 years now, which is a heck of a long time, but when you embalm someone, can you kind of verbally walk me through that process so we can kind of understand what you're doing?
Sure. Embalming is something that we do that prepares a deceased, a dead person, typically it's for a public viewing at the funeral home once they're in the casket.
Yeah.
When a person dies, it's not always a pretty picture. You know, a lot of times the body turns to a kind of a bluish color, blood settles. And, you know, so the color is all off. And when we do the embalming, we're basically injecting into the arterial system, an artery, a large artery. We typically will use the carotid artery or maybe the iliac or femoral artery down in the groin area and / leg. And sometimes we'll even use axillary or brachial arteries. That those arteries will help, you know, send fluid down into the arm.
Okay.
But the basic process is raise the artery, which is a larger one. Those are the six points that we typically will inject from. And then we also raise the large vein that rides right along next to that artery. When we're pumping the fluid into the artery, it builds up pressure and you open the vein and that allows the blood to come out. And what that does is it pushes the fluid, the preservative, the chemicals, which, you know, has preservatives and agents in there to kind of help sanitize and slows down the decomposition process.
Yeah.
But it also restores the color of the body. So they're no longer that, that bluish color. It returns the color to the fingertips, typically, the lips. It makes the person look a little more natural. So that's the process. It's almost like flushing your radiator in your car or bleeding the brakes, so to speak, putting fresh fluid in and bleeding out all the old stuff.
And that's basically that's kind of what I envision, yeah. But that, mm-hmm. that makes sense. So you're pushing pretty much all of the blood out of the body.
Yeah, well, I can't say 100% it's all, but it is the majority of it. We okay. usually use roughly, and it depends and it varies. Each case varies a little bit. But usually it takes about 3 to 3.5 gallons of fluid to flush out the majority of the body. Sometimes we have to use more. And of course, smaller bodies, sometimes we don't need that much. But the average person is going to be we start off with about a tank of about 3 to 3.5 gallons of fluid.
Okay. And how long does that take usually?
Well, you know, each embalmer is a little different. For me, it's, you know, it's usually about an hour, hour and a half is probably was typical. Unfortunately, now it's sometimes it's a little longer. So sometimes it's been taking me 2, 2.5 hours. Depends on the case. Depends on how bad the clots are and how much the fluid moves around. And if I have to make additional incisions to inject different parts of the body because of issues with the fluid moving through that area.
So, okay. I mean, I guess that makes a lot of sense because that's what clots do within the body.
Yeah,
so that plugs it up.
It does. And we will know it. I typically like to embalm from the iliac region. I also use the right common carotid. But most of the time for the last 15 years, I usually use the artery down there in the groin by the leg. And when we're pushing that fluid in, I'm washing the body and massaging the body, and I'm looking at the hands and I'm looking at the face and I'm looking at the other leg to see, is the color coming back into the body, making it look more natural? And that's how I know that there's fluid going there. And so let's just pretend for a moment I'm embalming. Everything is going fine. But for whatever reason, the left arm is still not getting any fluid. We can usually tell when the fluid is getting there because we'll see what's called distension. You know, like how you can look at the veins in the back of your hand, you can see the veins are slightly raised up.
Yeah.
You know, so if we see those vessels are raised up, then that's telling me that I'm getting some kind of pressure in there. But if the, let's say the fingertips are still blue, they're not getting pink again. They're not, that blue color is not going away. That tells me the left arm is having a problem. And so in order to make that left arm right, I would have to go in there and try to raise the axillary, which is in the armpit, or the brachial, which is, you know, by your, you know, your in between your elbow and your armpit. And then we try to inject straight down that arm, targeting that one arm in order to kind of build up the pressure in that one arm in order to force the blood flow back towards the heart and to help clear up those fingertips and embalm that arm specifically. And those are the additional points that we sometimes do. Back in the day, prior to all of this.
Prior to COVID.
Prior to COVID. Now, I'm not saying sometimes we would have issues with drainage of some of the other vessels. our arms and or a leg, and we have to raise that up. But back before all of this, the majority of the bodies we would embalm, we would consider those to be a one point, meaning I'd only have to pick up that one artery, that one vein, and I'd be able to embalm the whole body from that one point. Unfortunately, with all the clotting issues we've had, I'm having to make several multiple point injections because of the clotting issue.
Hang tight. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Multispective is a podcast where we interview individuals around the world with unique stories and experiences. Guests share in detail some of the traumas they faced.
You know, because I feel in some ways so disgusting and broken on the inside, you know, I'm going to work on my outside, and that's going to make me feel better.
Mental health issues they've lived with.
I was very hyper, like I felt good. That's one thing of mania, like you feel good.
Decisions they've made.
My life changed drastically in that moment. That one moment, I can't even begin to describe to people how hard, how good, how scary, how disturbing and emotional that moment was, smoking crack.
And more importantly, how they found strength, resilience, and healing.
Just being able to think and have conversations and walk places, that really helped me, you know, accelerate the process of, you know, rebuilding burnt bridges.
Tune in, subscribe, rate and review Multispective on www.multispective.org or your preferred podcasting app. You can also find us on any of the social media platforms that you use. Your feedback is always welcome. Lots of love. Multispective.
And is this something, I mean, if you're speaking with other funeral home directors or embalmers, is this something a lot of folks are finding? That's
absolutely. No, yes. I know for a fact that that's happening. And it's not just by hearing them talking about it. We sometimes, like if somebody dies, I'm in Alabama. So let's say somebody died in Texas. Typically a funeral home in Texas will pick up the body and they'll prepare it and they'll send the body here, to Alabama. And I had one of these cases the other day, where the embalmer from wherever the body came had been having problems with clotting issues because it was, they tried seven different points of injection as opposed to one. So I know they're having issues with pushing fluid through the body.
So without even talking to the person, you can tell
yeah,
what
I can
happened.
See it. Yes. And I can also see that some, even if they try to do a one point injection, if it's shipped in, I could tell they were having issues because different parts of the body would not be well embalmed. There's still the color's not right, and there's issues. Now, that doesn't mean that embalmer did necessarily anything wrong. It just tells me that those sections were not getting fluid for some reason. And my guess would be because of the clotting issues. They're not... The clots are preventing the fluid from flowing into those areas.
Well, and you're experiencing it too, so you can see exactly what the problem is. I mean, you know
absolutely.
Enough from having to work through this. You're like, okay, yeah, they're having the same shit I am.
Right. Without even talking to them, I can almost tell.
Jeez.
That's just terrible.
And I saw some of the pictures of these on... you have pictures because you keep some of them, right?
Yeah, I started in September of 2021 taking pictures of some of these strange clots. I do not take pictures of all of them, just off and on as a kind of a record to show. In the beginning, it was just I needed evidence when I'm talking about. When I started speaking out about this, I needed to have something to prove what it is I'm talking about.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I needed proof. I needed something to back up what I'm saying. And now, and then after I came out publicly in about March of 2022, I'm getting calls and being asked to send samples to pathologists and scientists because people aren't necessarily wanting to talk about it. And they knew I was seeing it. So I started collecting some of these samples so they can try to analyze them and study them and try to figure out what's going on. Or at least that was my hope. Every one of them say 100% that this ain't normal. Something's wrong.
So whenever you send these samples off is what you're saying.
They
come back to you with results.
Not always. Sometimes I get absolutely nothing back from them. And sometimes I do get contacted back from them. But most of them are, there's not a whole lot of information as far as what exactly it is. An ICP-MS analysis, which is breaking it down into figuring out what the chemical or the heavy metal components are. Basically, it's almost like your anatomical chart, you know, how much magnesium, potassium, those kind of things.
Yeah, so it's basically analyzing the ingredients of this thing.
Right, yes. Okay. And here in the last... in the last handful of months, I don't want to be specific. Some other researchers contacted me and wanted some samples, and they wanted to replicate the Mike Adams analysis. So they sent these off to two other labs that did the same type of analysis. And what they found is that Mike Adams analysis stands true. They found basically the same thing. Now, there might not be exactly the same number every time because each one of these samples is from a different person.
Yeah.
But it's showing the alarming amounts of these different elements that kind of match that. Now, what they're working on doing is trying to figure out, okay, so now we've got that information. And we haven't gotten, or at least from what I've been told, we don't have 100% some of the next tests that are being done, which is to try to break down and figure out, all right, well, what kind of proteins are these? You know, what is the protein makeup? Because that's going to be a little bit different than the ICP-MS.
Okay. What did they find? I mean, I know you're not a researcher or a doctor or anything like that, but just when Mike Adams did that, what was basically found, or what was the explanation of what these are made out of?
Well, what the big thing that they found was that it lacked in iron content, meaning that this is not a blood clot at all. That's something other than a blood clot.
Because all blood has iron in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why blood clots are red, because it's full of iron. It's red.
Yeah.
And typically that's what blood, you know, a blood clot, again, is like grape jelly. It's just coagulated blood. But these are not that. There's some traces of iron in there, because there's surely, I'm assuming that there's some red blood cells still trapped into some of these. And in some of the samples and the pictures that I've shared, sometimes you'll notice a little bit of pink around there. Or sometimes you'll notice a streak of dark material, which is blood that's been trapped along the side of these things. So there is some blood, but overall, it's not blood. It's some other kind of proteins. And Dr. Ryan Cole has looked at these things, and you know, he says that they're full of eosinophils and different things, and amyloid. He calls it amyloid-like proteins.
Okay. It looks kind of like it looks like chicken fat, or I mean,
well,
or like
I wouldn't
a worm.
Say chicken fat.
Like it looks.
Yeah, it does.
It's
look
pale.
Like a worm.
They're pale.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're kind of a whitish, rubbery substance like calamari.
Really? Yeah, that's a good description, actually.
It is. And, you know, the next big debate that was going on for a while were these must be post-mortem clots, meaning they happen after death. They can't possibly be anti-mortem, which is while somebody's still alive. And in the beginning, I even argued with some of the doctors, and some of the doctors agreed with me, saying that there's no way that these could be post-mortem because there's too much structure there. They're too strong, and these are some kind of protein that must have been accumulating over time.
Well, yeah, and if they're fibrous, that's not just going to pop up.
Right, yeah. I believe that myself. And I again,
that makes
I've argued
sense
with
to
some
me.
Of these
yeah.
Yes. Now, I had a case earlier this year in 2024, that I've had to eat crow on that these things are also forming post mortem as well, because I had a case where the body had these large tubes that were going into it, and it was full of blood, and that blood had separated in these tubes. The dark spots were the red blood cells, and then this kind of yellowish gold stuff, which I would assume would be the serum of the blood, had separated. When I opened it up during the embalming process, the dark stuff came out as a typical blood clot. It was just like grape jelly, like almost like jello. It had taken the shape of the tube.
Yeah.
And I tried to catch it and catch some of it for to see what's going on there. And it was literally falling apart in my hand, which is what a typical blood clot would do. But when that yellowish color started coming out, in that were these strange fibrous looking clots. And I know they had to have formed in the tube, because where the tube entered the body, they're called cannulas, where it goes into the, and it was going into the vein. I didn't know it at first, but I do now. But that in the end of the cannulas were small holes that allowed blood to go in and out through that tube.
Yeah.
And those holes were way too small for these clots, this clot that I got, in order to pass through. So it had to have formed inside of that tube. But now at the same time, there was a recent whistleblower on Philip McMillan's interviewed that works in a cath lab. And guess what? That he's been removing out of living people, rubbery clots. So I know for a fact, and I had already had reports from from funeral directors telling me that their family member described very similar clots removed from their loved ones before they died. So it had to have happened before death as well. So I think we were all in agreement that this is abnormal. And some of the doctors that said this had to be post-mortem are now saying you can't have post-mortem clots in living people. So it must be happening anti-mortem. But at the same time, I was wrong by saying that these can't be post-mortem. Because I had that case where I saw that it had to have formed in that tube. Either way, Matt, what we're believing now, or what some of the people that I'm researching, just my own thought, again, I'm not a doctor or scientist. Why I think us morticians, us embalmers, were noticing this is because we noticed a change in the blood. We noticed there's some abnormal clotting. If whatever this foreign protein is that's floating around in the blood must be in a soluble state. It's a liquid.
Okay.
Something happens. We don't know what exactly causes it, but something happens when these things start to combine and stick together, forming an actual clot. And because when the body, when the deceased dies and the blood stops moving, and some of these researchers thought in early on that these were both antemortem and postmortem. They thought that these things were continuing to form after death. And with that forming in the tube proved to me that they were right. It has to. And so I kind of think about it as
like an activation or something.
Yeah, right. Like in a cement truck. A cement truck, as long as that cement truck is turning, you're fine. But once that cement starts to stops moving, it's a matter of time when it becomes a solid piece of concrete. And so these foreign proteins, what they're believing is when the blood stops moving, these things are precipitating or condensating within the blood column, and they're sticking together and forming these strange clots, which would make sense why embalmers were noticing this early on, is because when the blood stopped moving, that clotting process or the formation of these things was sped up. And doctors wouldn't see it, because when a person dies, they come into the care of the funeral home. They don't go, their doctors don't come in and embalm the body.
Yeah.
They would never see it. They would never see it.
So this stuff isn't, so just from your experience and research into this, so is this affecting living people, like people, or is it just something that's noticed post-mortem, or is this a health risk?
I believe this, my just me looking at it, as you know, I'm not a doctor or a scientist.
Your best guess.
My best guess is this, and some of this is, you know, somewhat educated, because I'm speaking with some of these doctors and scientists, okay? What they believe is the mRNA vaccine was designed to make your body create a spike protein. The spike protein is in the virus too. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So they leave some room. They say it is possible that some of this clotting issue might be related to the virus itself.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question in this. It's like it could also be the virus. It could be the vaccine. I mean, just anecdotally. Damn word.
Yeah.
Looking at this. I mean, you have coincidence of different timelines and events happening, but
exactly. But this is the thing. This is what these researchers are talking about. When they took they've now discovered and realized that it's the spike protein by itself is thrombogenic, meaning it can cause clotting issues.
Okay.
The difference between the natural infection and the vaccine is that the vaccine has the mRNA code to make your body create the spike protein that is thrombogenic. It is a foreign protein. So there's a difference between you just, you know, coming in contact and getting some spike protein, and that's a, you know, that's risk in itself. But when your own body creates that spike protein inside of you and it travels all around your body and you don't know where it's going to land, and you've got your own cells creating spike protein, how much of that spike protein is being produced? And how much, you know, is it dose dependent? Does it mean that the more spike protein you have, the more thrombogenic you can get? But it's not just spike protein, Matt. They're talking about when they use the pseudouridine to change this codon stuff within the mRNA, not only did they create the spike protein, which is their intent, but it will also, if you follow that chain out, will create unintended proteins called aberrant proteins. So this may be a number of different proteins. And I think, this is me again, these aberrant proteins that we're noticing with these clots, if these aberrant proteins that are not, they're foreign to your body, they're not necessarily intended to be there. Is these foreign proteins potentially causing all of the 1,200 and some potential side effects from the vaccine itself? Because the blood is changed, the blood's affected, and it's circulating through the whole body. For some people, it might be a neurological issue. For others, it may be a clotting issue. For others, it may be speeding up cancers in their body because these foreign proteins are floating around in your blood, depriving your body of its natural ability to fight off cancers. Does that make sense? There's something in the blood that shouldn't be there affecting our health. And for some people, it will show up as, you know, as a clot. For others, it may be, you know, some other kind of an issue like a cancer or some other kind of ailment. But is it all linked to the same thing? And I am almost willing to put money on it. It's all linked together.
Well, I think one thing is for absolute certain is there's something going on. And I mean, this is trying to be, you know, neutral and open-minded, and I'm not an expert, but just everyone you speak with and, you know, people you know, there is something going on with people's health. And there's a, once again, virus, vaccine, who knows, microplastics in water. It could be anything, I suppose, but there seems to be that timeline somewhere around 2020, 2021. There's a before and an after. Like I've even had it in my own health, and I'm a pretty healthy 41-year-old, but there's just a lot of weird shit going on. And
I agree.
There's no consensus or even really good ideas that I've heard mainstream. And, you know, when we talk to people like yourself and interview some of these other researchers and doctors, it gets written off as conspiracy. You know, I've seen it. You get someone on like yourself and, oh, well, that's just, so people tune out to it. And it's almost like we've stopped talking about it. Like anything with COVID or mandates or vaccines, it was there one day and then it's just gone, which is strange because it was all we talked about. And now nobody's pushing vaccines. The CDC dropped all its guidelines on COVID, basically, and reduced it to the common flu or, you know, a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell happened? And it's almost like we're being told to just forget about it. Don't ask questions.
Nothing to see here. Nothing
exactly.
To see.
Like somebody fucked up a lot. You know, a lot of people fucked up a lot. And without trying to play political games, I mean, how can we have this massive event, this worldwide event, and harsh mandates and new chemicals, new drugs, and then we just stop talking about it?
Well, like you're being generous. You're being generous, man. You're you know, the CDC also recently recommends people over 65 and older to get a booster 4 months now. So
see, I don't see
they're
shit.
Still pushing it.
I don't see shit anymore. I mean, any news station, social media, I don't see shit. I don't see. I saw the damn Travis Kelce commercial on like TikTok or Facebook or YouTube or something. That was the last thing I'd seen, and I didn't see anything for 6 months before that. And all of a sudden, Travis Kelce's coming out promoting vaccines. I'm like, who the hell is still talking about this?
Yeah. Well, I noticed I was sitting there with my wife, and she was watching one of her shows, which she loves, like HGTV stuff and all those things, and all of these pharmaceutical commercials. And one of the things that I noticed, one of the side effects they're starting to talk about now are blood clots. This may produce blood clots. What are they trying to do? They're trying to throw the buck on something else? I don't understand.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, you're being extremely generous, because they are trying. They're not going to be able to hide from this forever, but they continuously pushing this and trying to promote these vaccines. They're now. It's more than just being,
Yeah, they're culpable. They're an accessory.
Yeah, they're an accessory to the crime. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
they're now an accessory to this. Isn't it amazing how you ever hear one of those news stories that come up? Oh, or whatever. You find out that the local, we'll just pick on Taco Bell for sake. Oh, Taco Bell here we shut down this location because, three people ended up with food poisoning.
Yeah.
It's amazing how fast they can shut down a business for a potential food poisoning thing.
They can find the coincidence. Coincidence real easy.
Recalling a car and not making manufacturers recalling a car because of a bad windshield wiper, tie rod end or something like that. And it's fascinating how they can do that. And yet they ignored the people that had the vaccine injuries. And
that's such an amazing analogy. And that made me think of, we had an ice cream manufacturer down here in South Florida, a local kind of like a mom and pop place. Right. Mm-hmm. And 28 people got, I don't know if it was E. coli. I think it might have been E. coli, some kind of foodborne illness. And, mm-hmm. We get a ton of tourists down here. So these people all went back to Georgia or Ohio or Tennessee and, some were local. And they were able to tie it to this manufacturer in this ice cream in this machine within within a week or two.
Absolutely.
Like this is going in between states. How are they even sharing this information? It's impressive, to say the least. Like, I'm impressed they found it that quick, and they were able to shut it down and clean it and, do something or other with it. But it was, that's a great analogy to that. And it's like, at first, maybe with COVID, and this is just me, John Q. Public, COVID vaccines, it all seemed well-intentioned. And maybe a lot of the experts and public health officials and, maybe there was some, maybe this vaccine does work, or maybe these mandates do work. There's a period where you're given maybe a little more leeway or forgiveness for being well-intentioned or not having all the information and just trying to make some decision. Like, we don't know what's happening. Let's do something. But then there's a point where you cross that line, and that's with anything. You can claim ignorance to some point, but then,
But now after this, and Naomi Wolf had put out that thing where they had some FOIA information and CDC communications, or not CDC, government communications between CDC, FDA, NIH, Surgeon General, Fauci, Lewinsky, all those people, those FOIA information things showed that they knew in May of 2021 that these vaccines were causing myocarditis and blood clot issues. This was about the time when early on, I mean, estimated it was in somewhere near May. It could have been, you know, March or April, but in early 2021 is when I started noticing these abnormal clotting issues.
Well, and vaccines came out in what was it, November, December, like a very limited release, or, you know, that was the tier one people, the priority people.
It was in late December, 2020, but it really started coming out in January of 2021. And I noticed early in 2021, the blood clotting was going crazy. And I was noticing, you know, I usually estimate May, but like I said, it's probably earlier than that, maybe as early as March or April. But if I knew it, and then here it is, you know, I don't remember when this came out from Naomi Wolf. It was sometime in latter 23. They knew, the White House and all of those, they knew in 2021, in May, I think the date on there was May 24th or 25th of 2021, they knew of the myocarditis, the heart issues, and the blood clotting. If they knew that in May of 2021, that's prior to the mandates, Matt.
I remember hearing about it through, I wouldn't say mainstream media, but I do remember there was a little bit of mainstream concern or reporting on the myocarditis. And I don't know if that they were trying to attribute that to the virus or the vaccine, but that's just my memory of that time.
They did try to make it sound like it was from the virus. But the problem is those FOIA documents said it was from the vaccine. Had they stopped this, Matt, in the beginning, if they had stopped this in May, when those communications were going on, and they knew that there was a blood clotting issue happening and heart issues happening, if they would have stopped it back then, I would have given them just as much grace as you were giving them a little bit ago. But because they knew it prior to the mandate and continued to push it, and then you remember how the president said he was losing his patience.
Yeah.
With those that were not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Tells me it's nefarious. And now they're trying to make it sound like, oh, you know, side effects can happen, but it's extremely rare. Matt, I'm telling you, these clots that I'm finding, I'm 90 plus 90, I'm way up high in the 90% chance, believe that these are related to the vaccine. When these clots are linked to the vaccine, 100%, there's no denying it, which in my opinion, it's almost already there, but I'm not the scientist and the doctor to make that final call.
Yeah.
That means without this substance in these people's bodies, would they have lived longer?
Yeah.
And that means if that's the case, then that means their early demise or their early death could be attributed to this foreign substance floating around in their body. And then that means the vaccine would have been responsible for the deaths of untold, uncountable numbers of people.
So, and just to be clear too, you never saw any of this before, or is it something you'd see rarely? Would you see something similar to this before, never?
I've never seen these types of clots. I'm familiar with what's called chicken fat clots.
Yeah.
Chicken fat clots, we call them that because that's what they look like. They look like little balls of chicken fat or little chunks of fat, like when you're cleaning your chicken or getting ready to cook your chicken, and you know that little gristly, like not gristly, but little fat stuff that up underneath the skin, you know, that's what chicken fat clots look like. And I'm also familiar with some of the larger clots that are a little bit more gummy, or they stick together a little bit more,
yeah,
but they're still very red. They're very slick. You can pull them out with your forceps, and some of them you can get that are fairly long, but they're not strong. You cannot take a couple of locking forceps and attach it to them and hold it up in the air. It doesn't have that kind of strength. It falls apart.
Well, and that's where you say the fibrous. That's where that.
Yeah. That's where these things are fibrous. And sometimes it's almost like a rubber band. You can literally stretch it. And that video that went viral, you can see me, I'm stretching it. That is not normal. That is totally not normal. And the other thing that's not normal is, I don't hardly ever recall seeing clots in arteries. And the thing about the ones in the arteries, not is number one, you just hardly would never see a clot. And if you did, it was usually from a body that had been dead for a long time. And some of the blood that was in the artery might gel up like grape jelly, typical blood clot.
Yeah.
But I've got an image that I had taken, and I put a yardstick next to it. Is 33 inches long, Matt.
Holy shit.
And that came from the artery. And next to it, I had another clot that was not quite as long, but it was thicker. And it came from the vein right next to that artery. Now, what's striking is they both have that white fibrous strand running down the length of them.
Yeah.
That's what's alarming. And clots typically happen on the venous side where the pressure is lower. There's the blood doesn't move as fast. In the artery, the reason why clots are rare in arteries is because there's pressure in the artery. Your heart is pumping and it's forcing that blood. It's shooting that blood, moving it. Okay. It doesn't have time. It doesn't have time to coagulate. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's constantly moving. It's on the high pressure side. You know, if you think about it, do you get plumbing, right? Do the clogs happen necessarily on the side where you turn the spigot on and the water comes out? No.
Yeah.
It happens in the drain where it's slower and it can accumulate and stuff can accumulate and gum up.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I could see that. I mean, yeah. Well, let's, we've kind of covered that. I guess the next thing, like the clot part of it, the next thing, I guess, is what have you dealt with? We talked a little bit about the censorship and, you know, stuff either being flagged or removed. Have you dealt with any other kind of, you're speaking out about this, harassment or threats or any kind of government actions? Have you had anything going on with that?
Well, I lost work with one funeral home. This funeral home was a corporately run funeral home, and the manager is all concerned about publicity and blowback and was not happy about it. So we ended ties there. Now this same manager, somebody that I've known for, 20 years, he was pro mandate, pro vaccine. He was all in. And he wouldn't even say things like, "What's happening? Why are so many younger people dying? I don't understand what's happening."
Yeah.
But he was always trying to find excuses, and he saw the clots too. But he was trying to make excuses saying, well, You know, it's about medications. You know, there's so many people, and oh, and then there's this, you know, fentanyl is all this stuff that's going on. And I'm like, you realize what you're saying is that you would have to basically say that everybody that has these clots are on the same exact drugs. And I said, I find that hard to believe. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. And it doesn't necessarily matter whether they're older or younger. I had an individual that I've known, again, back from when I was even in mortuary school. We got onto this topic, and he said that the where he was working, the FDA had contacted him in reference to me to find out if I was a legitimate person. Am I real? And he said, oh, yeah, he's real and all that stuff. So I know the FDA knows about me. I mean, obviously, why would they call this person and ask if I'm a real person? So that's there. As far as FDA or CDC or anybody contacted me directly, nobody's contacted me directly. There's always going to be haters out there that are going to try to make me sound like they're gaslighting me to make it sound like, oh, these things are always existed.
What I saw was you were, they try to pile everyone into the, oh, yeah, anti-vax. Well, he's just anti-vax. And, you know, I saw that just a quick Google search is, you know, trying to discredit it with this anti-vax thing, which just, that lacks so much nuance. It's just like, okay, you don't have to agree with everything. Like, okay, maybe you can say some shots, maybe I'll take some shots, I won't. But when they just, oh, you're anti-vax, it's like saying you're a flat earther. And
yeah, isn't that interesting? Because
yeah,
there's a part of me now going back, wishing I would have never allowed my doctor to convince me to get the annual flu shot for the last number of years.
So now, you have taken vaccines.
Sure. Yeah, I've taken vaccines.
You took every vaccine that probably most people had.
Yep.
To a point. Sure. And so to call you anti-vax, it's just so lazy. Instead of trying defend or, you know, argue back your position or find some other reason or research it and figure out what the fuck it is. Like, how about you figure out what the fuck this is? If it's a Perfect. Hoax, find out that it's a hoax. Find out that you're putting shoestring in there. Whatever the case is, you think. But to just say anti-vax, it's a bunch of anti-vax. It's so lazy.
They call Steve Kirsch an anti-vaxxer, and he had the vaccine. It doesn't matter with them anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hate pieces that are out there, I mean, what's a shame is, you know, PolitiFact was the very first hit piece on me, and that was, like, within days after me publicly speaking out. They find, and now if you Google search Richard Hirschman embalmer, the first thing, I don't know how much stuff you're going to have to read through, all these hit pieces trying to discredit me.
It's
and
the whole
all this
first
other...
page. It's oh, the it's whole first ridiculous. Page of, you know, fact checkers. And they don't even defend the point. They say, well, this probably isn't true or accurate, but they're not disproving it either. Nobody's disproving, like... Like, I'm sure you'd be like, fucking figure it out. Tell me it's something else. I don't care. Like, figure out it's not the vaccine. Figure out it's fucking microplastics in water or frogs or something. Whatever. Yeah. Doritos. Tell me it's something. But if you're going to put all this time and effort into just trying to discredit the entire movement that questions a vaccine, take that money. Take that time. And figure out what the fuck is going on.
You know, those, you know, and some of those, I know some of those, you know, they're attached to universities.
That's
I saw on one of the things. Yeah, it's from a university. This university paper published this thing, basically discrediting everything about me. And again, you know, they don't know. I mean, on one hand, I would love to have one of these ambulance chaser awesome attorneys. You know, the people that defended people like Sandman. You know, that young man down in Florida. You know, CNN discredited and get some attorneys and put some defamation of character lawsuits against these people.
Yeah, put some teeth to it. Make them prove their claims. If you can prove the claim, it's not slander and prove it.
But they don't. All they do is attack. They attack, and I'm not important. Message is more important.
Yeah,
they're having a hard time, and one of the reasons I think that this story is continuing to grow is because a picture is worth a thousand words. You hear all these doctors talking about the problems with the vaccine and the spike protein and how it attacks the immune system and the IG and the T cells and all this other stuff. The most average person, including myself, I glaze over all that information. Doesn't say anything to me.
No.
But you can read all over the place of these people with blood clot issues. And when I show these images of these clots that I'm finding, that is what's getting people like, you know, you don't have to be a medical expert to look at this and say,
that's
don't
weird.
Look right.
That's exactly what I did when I saw it. I looked at it, and I mean, bring some awareness, to get someone to look at it. I'm sure that's what you wanted. You want someone to look at it and say, what the hell is this? And to get their attention, I mean, that was the perfect way to do it, was to show them. Can just walk around talking about how you don't like the vaccine and how you're finding weird things, but to actually show them.
Right.
So my listeners can pick it up. If they go to your Twitter, you're saying they can still find, or your X, let's say X, it's X now.
Yeah, X, it is.
So if they go to Richard Hirschman on X, and you're saying these videos are still up, but you have to have a login.
Yeah, it sounds like, because I've sent this I've sent other things that I've shared to friends of mine that don't have a Twitter account. They can go and see the other things that I shared. But when it comes to that video that I shared,
so you think X just they age restricted it or something?
I don't think they age restricted it. I think what they did is they restricted it only to X users. And I don't know, maybe there's something nefarious about it, or maybe
they're
using it. I think
that's an age restriction. I haven't been able to get my personal Twitter account or X account for a year. It's been locked up, fraud, maybe somebody tried to hack it. I can't get it back. We have one for the show. That's a struggle.
If you got one for the show, you should be able to see it.
You know what? I think I was looking on my own personal phone, and I wasn't signed into the shows because my wife kind of has that on her phone. So I was like, I've seen other things that have been maybe sensitive content or, you know, violence or something like that, where you have to be signed in, where I can't see it. But then if I go on my wife's or, you know, one of the businesses, then we can see it. But yeah.
Well, these people that I know, they were able to see it until something happened and they took it down.
So was I.
For the people that are listening, that video I posted on February 18th, and I got, again, it was over 20 million views in just 2 days. Now, At this point, it says it's only been viewed 20.7 million. How do you go from 20 million views in 2 days and it just comes to a screech and a halt? I mean, that's what are we getting close to 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. There's usually an exponential growth.
Yes. Now, it's possible that that Twitter may have utilized this as a way for those people who don't have an X account. The only way to see it is for them to sign up for an X account.
Yeah.
Well, which is kind of funny or weird, but I'm not monetized. I don't have anything that's monetized at all.
Yeah, I've never. You're not selling anything.
I'm not selling anything. So they can't demonetize me because I'm not monetized. And I do that on purpose because I don't want anybody to ever think that this is.
You don't want to be bought and paid for.
I don't want to be bought and paid for. Absolutely. This is a spiritual thing for me. I feel like I have an obligation to humanity to expose what I'm seeing because this is potentially going to affect humanity as a whole. I mean, all of us.
Well, that's the right place to start. And unfortunately, so many people out there if they have a platform and millions of followers, they're scared to death about getting demonetized, deplatformed. That's their living. And we saw that with the first wave of people questioning mandates and vaccines back in 21. I mean, people who might have disagreed with it wouldn't speak out against it. They wouldn't question it. And it's not like, I mean, you got to be able to question stuff. And thank God, you know, our most popular platforms or our audio podcast platforms, they don't censor us, which is really great. I mean, that's, you know, we can put this on there. They're not going to have a problem with it. And they shouldn't. And they seem to have chilled out a little bit on the censorship. And now people are starting to be able to talk about it. I mean, you couldn't have posted that video on what was Twitter 2 years ago. No way.
I wasn't on Twitter 2 years ago. Yeah. I didn't trust Twitter back then. And the only reason I opened a Twitter account in May of 23. So it's not even been a year yet. And the only reason why I did it is because after Elon Musk took over, everybody was saying how it's different now. You can be, yeah, there's more free speech. But I noticed there's not, I mean, it is freer than others, but it's not totally free speech. It's crazy how they try to control your thought.
Yeah.
And it's a shame when things are right in front of us. They're trying to change everything that you believe. And unfortunately, they're creating more conspiracy theorists in mind than they are preventing it. Because by telling me that I don't know what I'm looking at, I mean, they're trying to tell me. There are some of these people, these haters out there. Some of them are doctors. Oh, these are just, you know, some kind of a fat embolus or something like that. I've been embalming for 23 years. In the first 20 years I've been embalming, you can't tell me I don't know what I'm looking at. It almost reminds me of that book, 1984.
Yeah.
That where they're trying to convince Winston, the guy in the book, that 2 + 2 = 5.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they're going to
beat you into submission.
This isn't the first time either. I mean, history always repeats itself. This isn't the first time they've tried to control thought and information, that the powers that be, right? I mean, this has existed in other countries, other societies. China did it. Soviet Union did it. North Korea does it. We've done it at different times. You know, the Nazis certainly did it. Japan did it. Mm-hmm. It's not a new story. So, my other question is, so are you self-employed, so to speak?
Yes, I am. And that might be,
Yeah, I think that's a big reason. And I'm seeing that just in my podcast for people about any subject. I have an impossible time getting an employee of anything. It could be a cop, it could be a theme park employee, it could be someone in a corporation to come on. Even most of my guests are anonymous. You're actually the first one that isn't anonymous. But I can't even have them come on with their voice changed, and I can't see them. And, you know, it's amazing how scared people are.
What's that? I was given the option to be anonymous in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was given the warning, you know, hey, you understand. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, and this is a big industry, and all this other stuff.
Well, but you're out about it, which is amazing, and you can be because you're self-employed.
Right.
What are they going to take from you?
I didn't trust anonymous sources, though. After the last, you know, you just look at mainstream media for the last, I don't know, almost 10 years. Anonymous sources this, anonymous sources, and then you find out none of it was true. So who trusts anonymous sources?
Yeah.
And I didn't trust anonymous sources. And I'm like, no, you know, I know what I know.
Yeah.
I went and I tried to research. I tried to sit there and I've spoke out to other morticians. I knew I wasn't crazy. And I wasn't going to go out there and just anonymously say something. No, I'm putting my reputation on the line. Yeah.
And that says a lot. And it says a lot that you're not promoting anything. It says a lot that you're not monetized, that you're not selling anything, because so many people, I mean, I don't know if you listen to a lot of podcasts, they need to promote themselves. And that's the only reason they're coming on, is to, they don't care about the message. They don't care about what they're doing. They want more subscribers or more book sales or more whatever. And it's,
I respect that though. I mean, it's true that people that have podcasts and they need monetization in order to make a living. I don't do this for a living.
Well, I'm talking more about the guests. I'm talking about,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Like there's doctors that'll speak to me about, you know, various different things, and, but they're all monetized and they're selling a book or they're trying to promote a documentary. So, you know, there's definitely a difference of motivation. Not that you can't have, you know, good information and the right thoughts and the right things and still make money. I don't have a problem with that at all. But you can tell when people are very obviously just trying to find a niche and talk about something, exploit it, and get themselves exposure. So that's the other end of it, which is why we did a lot of our guest anonymous, was like, we were trying to get away from that. And also, you can't talk to employees. Like, I can't talk to a cop and get him to be real with me and honest with me when his name and face are attached to it. So how the hell do we get those stories? So that's the reason we do some of that. But, you know, you get, I mean, you're a diamond in the rough as far as that's concerned, where, you know, you're not worried about the blowback, which is great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I have to answer to God, Matt. And I honestly feel like I've been put into this position for a reason, and I don't understand why, because I'm just a regular person like anybody else. Yet there's something inside of me, even before I came public, in those especially that last couple of weeks, I had to speak. It was like something inside of me wasn't allowing me to sit easy. I wasn't able to sleep well. I had to speak. I had to sit there and share this. And I didn't know how to go about doing it. It just happened.
Yeah.
I tried reaching out. I before I was public, I went public in January 26th or 27th. It was on the Dr. Jane Ruby show. And, but I screen captured, an email response that I was given to this other person. I won't name who it is, but I screen captured. It was January 19th of 2022. I screen captured 11:55 AM. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I ran across this, a couple of weeks ago, and it was to a place that I was trying to get this information to important people in hopes that they would try to look into it. And I wrote to him, I said, thank you. I will try to get information best I can. I'm okay with you sharing this information and my phone number. I have taken over 30 pictures, each from different bodies. This was early on. I had 30 pictures. Just over 30 pictures. I'm careful not to take pictures of personal identifying features because I'm trying not to get myself in trouble, but I am concerned about this. And I feel that there is, that if someone can figure out what this is and what's causing it, maybe it will save lives. I took some of the quote unquote worms, because that's what I was calling it, because that's what it looks like sometimes.
Yeah.
To a medical school. And then they said they'd never seen anything like it. I said that they're going to look at it under a microscope, but they're limited on what they can do. I screen captured this because people need to understand that the whole concern of mine, even back then, was my concern for humanity. My hopes was that whatever this is, these worms or these things are, which I was calling them worms. I don't do that anymore because now everybody wants to say they're parasites.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, to figure out what this is and what's causing it, it maybe will save lives. It was about saving lives. Something's wrong. I know there's something wrong. And if we don't investigate it, who knows how many people this will affect? Yeah. Is this an underlying issue like we were talking earlier? Is this why there are so many different variations of adverse effects? Some people having memory loss, some people having strokes, some people having heart attacks, thromboses, cancers, all these different side effects. Are these aberrant, abnormal, whatever proteins, whatever this stuff is that I'm seeing, is this just nothing more than a sign of something in the blood that is wrong? We got to get to the bottom of it, not for humanity. I mean, not,
yeah,
it's not for me. It's for humanity. I have family members and friends. Some are vaccine injured.
Yeah.
Some are fine. I don't understand why some people are okay and some people aren't. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's not my place to understand. All I know is this is abnormal. This showed up all of a sudden in early 2021. It has not stopped. Sometimes it's worse than others. Some people have large ones. Some people have smaller ones. But there's something has changed in the blood. And instead of having only, you know, maybe 2 out of 10 bodies that are clotted, now it's like 8 or 9 bodies out of 10 have clotting issues.
Jesus.
We're totally backwards from the way things used to be.
Yeah. Well, your motivations are certainly in the right place, it seems. And like I said before, that speaks volumes. So people listening to that, I mean, you don't stand to gain anything besides criticism.
Oh, and I've got lots of criticism.
Yeah, I mean,
just look at Google.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine if I were to try to get a job today at a place. You know, a lot of employers, they look you up. They just try to do a Google search on you.
Yeah.
Imagine me trying to get a job now.
That speaks volumes. That, I mean, there's nothing to gain but criticism, and you know, I appreciate that. You know, God bless you for that. It's something you feel, you know, needed to be told, and you put your neck out there for no good reason otherwise but to help and to try to draw attention. And I think when it's all said and done, more people need to speak up about this, and somebody who has the capabilities and the equipment and, you know, the research, the knowledge, needs to fucking look into this. And look into what's going on, because it's not normal.
No, it's not.
So I thank you for coming on and talking with me. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Hopefully others will speak out. We have to. The politicians are the ones that I'm really upset with, because they exempted themselves from this stuff. They know the issues, but they did not do anything to protect the individual's right and freedom to say no to this experimental vaccine, and they continue to push this. This should have been taken off the market a long time ago. And even if they didn't take it off the market, it should have never been forced or coerced on the population to take something that was so experimental. And now, unfortunately, we're going to be suffering the long-term consequences as we learn through time of the side effects and the long-term effects.
Well, of course, the government exempted themselves, or the politicians. I mean, what'd Reagan say? You know, what's the scariest thing you can hear is hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. It's been a fantastic interview, and we really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully somebody fucking looks into this shit, and hopefully we get some change out of it.
Yep. That's my hope. That's my hope. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
No, you're welcome. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to us. That helps. We need to build our redacted army up here. Also, give it a rating. Whatever platform you're listening on, give it a thumbs up. Give it a 5 stars. That helps. That helps tremendously. That helps smaller shows like ours to grow. And it's decentralizing the information, decentralizing your media. And we would really appreciate it. Like, subscribe, review. Thank you.